Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengue-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Wow.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday, everyone. Danny and Dusty with you.
Indeed.
Look at this. What a time to be alive, huh?
Put you back in the building.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, Fart Hammer,
Jeremiah Coughlin. Yeah. Hey, he got his hair cut. When are you going to get yours?
Not happening.
Yeah, hippie. I saw it. Dude, flip on my TV after the Blazer game, and I got some hippie on there telling me about the Blazers. Actually, it was more rednecky. It was very Kenny Powersy. Yeah,
very. So it wasn't the Blazers.
I think
man.
No. It was more like the Blazers. I instantly regret saying that. That was a terrible thing to say.
Yeah. That's pretty much, I think, how you can sum up last night.
What did you put in your hair? Because it had a nice sheen to it.
Yeah,
it looked like you had like Soul Glow in it.
So
just let your soul glow.
Many people
that was such a great movie.
Many
I love
people
coming to America.
Mentioned a little.
Rest in peace, John Amos.
Little Jerry Curl.
R.I.P. Yeah, it was. It had a lot of glisten and shine
I
to
make
the curl.
Sure I get the
curls were popping. It was a good look. It was a far better look than the Blazers.
Ooh.
We'll talk about them
Look,
today.
That's a bar low enough to trip over. By the way, I did say yesterday my stone cold lock of the week was the Warriors minus -6.
Yeah.
How did that work out?
Yeah, no, safe. I ripped the label off, but it is the...
Oh, it's the crew
it's the
pomade.
Crew, but it's
oh,
not,
the American crew pomade?
But,
yeah,
but it's
I used
the,
to use that.
It's not
when you
the,
had hair?
When I had hair.
It's not like the pomade. It is like...
Oh, it's the sheen
it's
and shine?
It's the high shine.
Look at you.
There we
so
go.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember what it was called.
All right.
That was when I tried to grow my hair out when we had our second kid, and I caught a glimpse of the back of my head in the bathroom mirror, and I asked my wife, I'm like,
that's
why
tough.
Didn't you tell me I look so ridiculous?
That's tough. Look, wives out there that are listening right now, you need to hold us accountable.
Yeah. Yep. You got to let me know when I have the old balding yarmulke going, something fierce.
Look, I think good friends should be able to tell you that, too.
Yeah.
You know, you have
Where
to,
were you, dude?
You have... My bad. Hand up.
You're my boy, Blue.
Hand up, my bad.
Yeah.
Should have saved you. But that is that's a tough look. And good friends, you can hop in there. You can hop in there and just say, it's time. It's time to come home. So just if that time comes for me, let me know.
I will let you know.
Let me know.
You and I
I'm okay with it.
Both of our hairlines are still okay.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, everybody's like, oh, you're safe. I don't ever want to admit I'm safe.
I have a terrible mustache. I look like a conquistador.
I have figured that drop out, too, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. My mustache is getting a little bit thicker.
No, you're getting there.
It's getting better.
We're getting there. We're doing good.
What makes me look like a conquistador is that I have, like, the soul patch, and I can't control that.
Yeah, and like, it's not on purpose, is it?
My
No.
I just don't grow hair around here, and it gives me very conquistadorian vibes.
Yeah, to quote Bruce Hornsby, that's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
As far as the product goes, I tried, like, 4 different ones before I landed on that one. So... I was trying to go for what you would call the wet look. So it lays down a little bit. So it doesn't get
you were.
Oh God, I don't feel good.
You know what you look like though? You look like a guy who owns a strip club. now that,
yeah.
I mean that it looked like, If you were to ask me what the owner of Sassy's looks like, I'd be like,
that guy.
That guy. Yeah. I like it, dude.
Perhaps
I'm not against it.
Look, perhaps the Dolphin 2.
Yeah.
I've got a mustache, so I'm... he who has creepy stash
shall cast
the first one. I believe here.
Yes, that's how
because I'm in the company here. I mean, you look like you own the club. I look like I'm like a regular.
Yeah, that's true. Right? You look like you pay covers.
This is what we got going on right now. Yeah.
My my other boss may or may not have asked me to maybe not go without a hat, and so I told my wife that my plan was look, I'm gonna throw some product in this thing, and we're gonna.
You're gonna let it go.
For anybody who did not believe me, that's not like you. That's my hair. It's curly as hell. Like,
who didn't believe you?
It's weird how those television folks have a thing about their post game.
People think you were wearing a wig.
Cap. Well, no. But like they're like, oh, you did like you're doing something to your hair to make it that curly. I'm like, no, dude, I just have these luscious curls. They don't. They just come out. All right. So
you're really into it.
it's a thing, but I told my wife, like, look, I'm going to do my hair and it's going to look so bad. And they're going to like put the hat back on and people need to stop trolling me. I'm sitting there telling everybody it looks terrible.
No, they don't.
I'm sitting there telling everybody it looks terrible. And everyone last night is like, no, love it. Keep it. I'm just sitting there going, oh, God, this is one of my all-time backfires.
Yeah, see, Dusty, you weren't here in the building yesterday, so you could not see how many times Danny pulled the old, trying to do the...
head toss.
Yes, the head toss, only for our YouTube watchers.
Yeah.
The head toss.
Yeah. I had like three curls that like kept falling down. I had to do more product before I went to the building.
I feel like Colin with his Greg Cosell segment every week. Now watch this video.
But
on the radio,
Danny owns the club. Rust is spinning the White Snake. Dusty's regular on the rails of the main stage.
Here
from P1 Rufio.
Yeah,
no, you're not singing. It's not strippy-oaky.
Oh, no,
it's
says I'm not.
I feel like playing the tune. I feel like this is more like a Varsity Blues situation.
Another
I may
one
or may
here.
Not hire a teacher.
Yeah, threw me for a major loop on the Vancouver Ford text line. I never watched your guys' show on YouTube. Seen Danny for the first time last night. Not what I pictured. Not in a bad way, though.
Yeah, look.
Not a bad way, though.
When I did the podcast and did radio appearances writing for years, and when I first started doing TV, I got a lot of, that's what you look like? It's like, I'm keenly aware that my voice does not match me. Like, that is not a thing that everybody's like, everybody thinks I'm smaller. And it's like, no. No, I'm not.
Yeah, see, I always kind of get the, yep, that's about right.
Yeah. Yeah, back in the day, I like when I would run into people on the street, if they'd hear my voice. Have you ever had that happen? Where you've been talking and somebody hears your voice and they're like, oh, are you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing, right?
Yeah, and it happens when you work on radio and people really don't see you that much.
Yeah, but it's like the first couple times that happened, I got a lot of, you don't look anything like I expected you to look.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing.
It's dense the games.
You picture something in your head and you go, oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, no, it was...
Danny's out there wrecking dreams of everybody, you know?
Yeah, I may or may not
Imagination killer, Danny. Danny Murray. Right.
May or may not have gone to the official Kenny Powers website and found the Merman jersey.
Ooh, sweet. Yeah, you should do that for Halloween next week.
I think
it's a week away.
I think I might cop that.
It's a week away.
See that, or I go. See that, I'm busting out Grumpy Bear.
Yeah,
the Care Bear.
Okay, well, that also works for you.
I think you
could be either one of those,
or I could be Grumpy Kenny Powers.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get this show on the road. Blazers played last night. That wasn't good. I'll give us.
What did we expect?
You know what? I may have a differing opinion.
Mm.
And I may be on the more optimistic side than you. How about
considering
that?
The comments you had when we walked in the door? Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Mine is a little bit different.
A little rosier.
But
it's not rosy. Yeah, it's rosier.
It's still... It still
has thorns.
Oh, boy. Boy, does it. We saw what the Blazers have in store for us this year. Giddy up, Buttercup.
Mm.
Also, we got a lot of NFL, college football. We got our picks this week for the week. I think last week, collectively, the show went 10-2.
Indeed, we did.
10-2 last week.
I was a 3-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was 3-1 as well.
A 4-0. I had a 4-0 week. I'm 15-1 in my last 4 weeks, assures everybody to fade Dusty this week.
If I would just quit trying to pick Jaguars games, I'd have an even better record on the season.
Look, I'm 15-1 over the last 4 weeks and 20-8 overall, so it was a rough start.
Yeah.
I think
it was a rough start with a furious finish.
I think on the season, I'm 3-4 on my Jaguars picks.
Which means not good. If you flip that, if you're 4-3, you're winning.
I mean, you are a Jags fan, so this fits your season that you're going with, though. Yeah, well, I mean, everything is upside down.
If it
down
fit the season, I would be like 1-6.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. All right. We also have Penn State doing Penn State-y things. Got some college football as well, as the Big Ten race is really heating up, as is the college football playoff race. This is a crazy year. What a great year for the 12-team playoff.
It's absolutely perfect, and I can't wait. I hope that in the very first year, without getting too sportsy here, that we get a metric crap ton of upsets.
Yeah.
Just to be like, I mean, why like didn't we do this? No, no, I'm talking about in the playoff.
Oh, gotcha.
I am hoping that what we get actually from here on out in the world of college football is a lot of chalk for the regular season.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm talking just the,
because
just the playoff.
The hell that the playoff committee will be in if we get a lot of chalk and we have all of these one-loss teams, or we have, you know, two loss teams that have some pretty good wins, and their losses are only to really good teams that you're going to be putting in anyways. Sign me up for that hell they're going to be in. Because
I'm 100% there with you, so where it's difficult, but I want upsets.
I dare you.
Just to get there.
I dare the College Football Playoff Committee to try and choose between an undefeated Army or Navy and a one-loss Boise State team where their only loss is potentially to the number one team in the country by 3 points on the road.
In a game they had a chance to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I dare you. I dare you to make that tough choice. And in doing so, you leave out a two-loss SEC team.
Which is going to be Alabama.
Yeah, and that would be like the only time that you would have like the South be like, screw the troops.
Now,
like it would be the wildest thing ever.
Not to get too sportsy in these last couple minutes of this first non-sportsy segment here, have we figured out yet the top four seeds? It's not just the Power Four winners; it's the top four
conference champions,
yes. Correct?
Yep.
So we could have a group of five in there.
As a top four seed, yeah. But, I mean, if you get the chalk the rest of the way, that would mean you have an unbeaten from the Big 12. Mm-hmm. You would have an unbeaten from the ACC. And so they're going to be top four.
Yeah.
They would be top four.
Well, if the ACC
would take a miracle.
Down a peg, I'd be okay with that.
It would take a miracle for a non Power Four team to be a top four seed.
If Boise State boat races UNLV this weekend and then just absolutely smacks the living hell out of everyone left on their schedule, and you get Clemson losing, then...
Well, Miami would have to
lose. I'm sorry, Miami.
Yeah. Miami with the one loss.
Maybe I can squint.
I'm sure Mario will figure that out.
Yeah.
Maybe I could squint and see it. I think that's the only path, though. I'm talking, they just got to, Ashton Genty has to Genty so hard.
You have 5 weeks left. And Boise State, by the way, on a bye week, fell two spots.
just so,
in the AP poll. And the so playoff committee is completely different than the AP
is,
or the coaches
still
poll. But
so dumb.
If you take that, they have to make up, at a minimum, they'd have to make up eight spots in the polls.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really hard.
I mean,
they
need to, as I'm saying, they need to boat race UNLV this weekend and then just kick the crap out of everybody the rest of the way.
All right.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities.
No. No. It really isn't.
And Miami's been playing with fire all season.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And look, a Cristobal game could happen. And I want to give Miami credit because they have avoided the Cristobal stub your toe in a game you have no business losing, like Arizona State, right?
They found a way to win everything.
We're only halfway there.
They got Florida State this week. They have Duke. That Duke game is going to be tougher than people think. Syracuse plays tonight. At the end of the year, Miami goes to the Carrier Dome.
Which is always a weird place to play.
But right now, Syracuse is one lost team.
Here, you know what? By saying that...
And Pitt, undefeated.
You put something in my head.
Pitt.
Think about all of the S that Miami has been up against and undefeated. They are the anti-USC this season, where they have put themselves in very stupid positions that they should not be in.
Yeah.
And yet they have managed to claw out of every single one of them.
Yeah. Mario Cristobal is a good coach.
You have to give Cristobal credit for not falling prey to that drive.
Think of those losses, though, that Cristobal has attached to him at Oregon, right? It was, or last year, not kneeling, not taking a knee. It's game management at the end of a game where it's like, oh boy. And
is Lincoln Riley learning that escaped. This year?
Oh boy. I don't know. From hearing Lincoln Riley talk, I don't think so.
Because he doesn't seem to have an answer.
Well, no, he's saying he doesn't have an answer. He literally is saying he doesn't know.
Well, at the very least, I mean, Miami should have had a loss against Cal, but Cal'd very hard.
Well, you say about and three games.
Virginia and even Tech in the back of the end zone. Yeah. Virginia Tech, where they ruled it an incompletion, and then they reviewed it, and maybe looked like a completion. We didn't know. I still think it was incomplete. Yeah. Louisville this past week. Almost stubbed their toe, and then they get Florida State this week, which can't get out of their own way.
Florida State stubs their own toe.
But if Florida State were to get out of their way in one game,
it'd be this one.
It'd be this one.
Yeah.
It'd be this one.
And even listening to my favorite morning show on my way in, Dirt and Sprague, this morning, talking about how Cal, 3-4 on the season, but basically should be undefeated.
Huh?
Somehow. No, well, and they gave Florida State their only win.
Yeah, they did. Mm. They did. But I think what they're saying is Cal has a 5-point loss to Florida State, a 1-point loss to Miami, a 2-point loss to Pitt, a 1-point loss to NC State.
Mm-hmm. Cal shot themselves in the foot 4 times.
Yes, they have. Mm-hmm. Yes, they tough out. Tough out. They got the Beavs this week. They got the Beavs this week. And yeah, like, that's a team that...
10-point favorites, I think, over the Beavs?
I don't know.
Are Cal?
They've got a plus 37-point differential. Cal does. Plus 37.
And they're 3-4.
Are 0-4 in ACC play.
Make it make sense.
0-4 in ACC play. Plus 37 overall. And they are minus 0-4 with a minus 9-point differential in conference play.
So weird.
That is weird. All right. Well, we're already sports in. So I do have something on the dock today that is kind of tangentially sports related.
Oh?
Yeah. Have you seen the greatest snack food in the NFL?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Most popular snack food in the NFL.
Is it Marshawn Lynch's favorite?
No, it is not.
No?
No, it is not. But it opened up a whole can of worms for me. I was battling my own brain. Mm. So we'll talk about that today. Where we got to start, though, how about that hometown team? Huh?
Which one?
Oh. Don't even get me started.
Wow, what did the Vikings do?
The Blazers lose by 35.
Hey.
Not what we wanted to see. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Portland Trailblazers got thumped last night.
Mollywopped?
Yep. The final score, 139-104 in the opener. First of all, what we did not want to see at any point was the Blazers getting beat by 35 points, right? That was kind of our marker, right? Keep games tighter.
Mm-hmm.
Especially against the upper echelon teams. Like last year was like the 50-point losses, the 40-point losses, 35-point losses where you're just like, "Oh my gosh, this can't be it." And I think the most discouraging thing about the way the Blazers came out of the gate was you open it with a 35-point loss against a team that I don't think is an upper echelon team in the West. Like, the Golden State Warriors are good.
Yes.
But they are not an elite team
like
in the West.
They're like a 46-win team.
And they're not the Warriors that we're used to.
No, but they're going to be feisty, and Buddy Hield is going to be a pretty decent Klay Thompson substitute. What I thought last night was the Blazers weren't really able to be as impactful with their size as they wanted to be. You had a lot of guards torturing the Blazers last night for the Warriors. Chauncey Billups in the post game said, you know, the line that's getting a lot of traction is not a single player played well. And I think to that extent, yes, I think it's right. But he also has had a line that he said, I think for the first time in a month, we came out and we didn't have the energy and we were not prepared and we didn't have the focus. He goes, to be honest, all preseason and all through camp, I think we've had it. And if you just rewind to Friday against the Utah Jazz, we had people talking about how this team might actually win 40 games. Like, people like, oh, so the focus and the dedication and the effort and the intensity and hustle, it didn't just disappear from Friday until Wednesday.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening, I think, is, and you can say this is coaching, you can say whatever you want it, but DeAndre Ayton, Denny Avdia, Jeremy Grant, basically everyone said that they had jitters and they were pressing. Mm-hmm. And which is kind of weird.
Yeah. But especially from your vets to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As bad as that was, 139-104, and you lose, I thought for, and this is what I said walking in today, as you and I were walking in from the parking lot, is that I will give the Trailblazers, I thought they played decent for 2 1/3 of a quarter. Mm. And I went back and as I was thinking about it, like, it was at about that 7:40 mark of the third quarter. I looked and I was like, they're only down 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the things that we were hoping to see, the effort wise, the pushing a little bit more of the tempo, active hands. I mean, I went back and I looked at it. At the 7, and I went back to 7:34 remaining in the third quarter, okay? The Blazers were losing 70-60 while shooting 4 of 19 from 3, which against the Golden State Warriors, I don't care if Klay Thompson is there. I don't care if this is the, you know, light years Warriors that were winning championships and elite. You're still not going to be competitive against a team that, the Golden State Warriors especially, shooting 4 of 19 from 3. As long as Steph Curry can shoot the basketball, he is not, you can't shoot that poorly from beyond the arc. Yet, it was a 10-point game, and the thing that I liked about the way the Blazers were playing is that in that, they had 7 steals to that point. They were winning the turnover battle 12-8, and you're going, okay, there is, it felt like the Blazers for the first time watching them, they actually were playing like Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum were no longer on the team. Mm-hmm. I felt like all last year they were still playing like Dame and CJ were there. And sure. It was like,
stylistically, it did not. Yeah, no.
And this is not that team.
No.
And it felt like that. And then the wheels fell off at that point, 7.5 to go in the third quarter. The wheels fell off, and the Warriors absolutely thumped them.
Let's start at the top and then kind of work our way through into the game. This is kind of I told you so. This in the general sense, the Blazers' starting lineup is going to be competitive. It's not great, but it's going to be competitive. Where the drop off is going to occur is when those guys leave the floor on general nights. Now, Ant, Jeremy, D.A., they were subpar last night. And if two of those three aren't good to great, you're gonna struggle in games.
Yep.
But if they all struggle, you're going to have that. Because everyone's like, well, Scoot needs to play more, and Two needs to play more, and Robert needs to play more, and Donovan needs to play more. I'm like, then you will lose by 60. I love those guys.
Scoot was tough to watch in the opener
He had one spurt where I thought he had a plan and he was effective. The rest of the game, it was pretty bad. But the Blazers, this isn't a Warriors game situation. This is going to be a season-long thing. I wrote about this last night when I got home. The Blazers have a math problem. And it is very simple. they only have one guy on the entire team who can consistently generate his own shot at every single level. That is Anthony Simons. He is the only one on the team who can consistently generate his shot on every single level.
No doubt. And when he's shooting 2 of 7 from beyond the arc, you're in hell.
And when he's only taking 12 shots, you're in hell. Ant needs to take at minimum 18 shots a night.
Yeah.
Because he's going to set the table for everybody else. His gravity, his ability to space the floor, his threat at all three levels is the domino that pushes everything else forward, right? So he's rusty. He's coming out of the preseason with one game in the ankle. And you know, I talked to him after the game. I asked how he was doing. He said he's fine. And I think he'll be fine. And it'll take him a week to kind of round into form. It doesn't excuse the performance last night. He knows he didn't play well. Jeremy, if the ball goes in, it looks different. All of this stuff said, in that first quarter and a half, there were a couple things that legitimately stood out to me as this is different.
Yeah.
I thought they played with pace and purpose in the first quarter and a half. They were getting into their sets. When I go back and watch the film today, I'm very interested to see how many shots or how many times they got into stuff with 18 or more seconds still on the shot clock. Like, they got down the floor and got into it.
Pace,
and got shots
pace,
up
pace.
Quick.
And it's not pace from beyond the arc. Like, I was texting my buddy last night about as we were watching the game, and it was like, this team is going to be really good from 18 feet and in.
They got downhill. And Denny's a big part of that. DeAndre Ayton didn't have a great box score night at the end of the night, but you know what he did? He played at the rim or at the three-point line the majority of the game. He took two middies last night, and he didn't take his first one until the third quarter. Beyond that, he attacked with the ball in his hands. Like, DA is a guy that historically his assist rate, like needing to be set up, is one of the highest in the league, which is pretty typical for big men. Not many bigs can create on their own. But
everybody watches Jokic and Wimby and are like, be that guy.
Yeah, be that guy. Nobody else can do that. There's like four guys in the whole league that can create their own shot as a big. But DA attacked the closeout, threw down a dunk. He did a post-up where he literally put the ball on the floor multiple times and spun in and drove. And then he took corner threes.
Early in the third quarter, there was a moment where he slid from the near block and he got a steal underneath the basket. It was like, okay, they're actually moving. There were some bright spots.
Yeah. No, but again, these were like little cherries that you're picking. They weren't like overarching stories from the night.
Those are the things that this year, with 81 games left,
what you have to enjoy.
You're going to have to look for. Mm-hmm. The most discouraging part is this one, like from the Vancouver Ford text line. I don't want a Blazer team winning a single game, but I don't want to see 82 blowouts. I want to see effort. Yeah. I want to see the next 81 games lost by 1 point in the last minute. I want them to out-effort every team and lose every game. Now, that was the most discouraging part.
Yeah,
is because when the wheels fell off, it turned into an absolute dumpster fire. And that right there, in game one, that's why it's the most discouraging thing, is because it's game one. If that continues to happen, that's how you become the Washington Wizards.
Yes.
That's how you become the Detroit Pistons. That's where your losing culture just says, nope, done, we're out. And that is the worst thing that you can have as a fan base.
And the thing that I went back to this is last year, even after the 50 and 60-point losses, they still played hard for Chauncey. And the effort was still there. And I think through the preseason, it has been there. What's going to remain to be seen is if this is a one-off. But if this is a thing where you get 25 games into the season and you're having multiple effort nights, Chauncey Billups will not make it through the season.
Out of the first 31 games, how many are against Western Conference
28.
Teams?
28.
Oh.
And they open the season with five and seven nights. Like you're going to get multiple opportunities to see this team. They could very, very easily play the Pelicans. They play them twice Friday and Sunday. Win one of those games right out of the shoot and look relatively decent. You go, oh, it's like,
well, especially with DeJounte Murray broke his hand last night.
Trey Murphy's still dealing with a hamstring.
Yeah.
It was a very discouraging night outside of the first quarter. It's interesting how Donovan Clingan and Zach Edey for the Grizzlies. Did you see Edey? He fouled out.
I did see that he did foul out. Yeah. That's
I wonder if the Blazers truly missed out by not drafting him.
Same
with like Dalton Connect. The one game overreactions over rookies is one of my favorite things. But
yeah.
I thought Donovan looked very, very, very similar to how he did in the preseason and how he did in Summer League, in the sense of his first appearance in Summer League, his first appearance in the preseason, his first appearance in the regular season. He's got Golden Retriever energy. He's a little too amped, and you see him get gassed. Let's see what it looks like the rest of the season. Because in Summer League, in the preseason, after he got that out of the way, he looked so much more confident, so much more comfortable. He's still just young. But, yeah, I wasn't surprised by what I saw from him last night, just from what we've seen from him already. And I think he'll be fine.
I can handle losing. That's what this team is going to do a lot of. I do not want, like, it is the 35-point loss to a team that will be a good, not great team. They'll be back-end playoff team in the West. I do not like to see a 35-point loss out of the gate. That was the discouraging part. There were the little glimmers, and that's, again, that's what we're going to be watching all
year
long.
It was few and
far
between. And look,
yeah.
The math problem is the bigger issue, I think, for this team.
Can't shoot.
It's boiled down to that game. It was an exaggeration because it was the Warriors. But if you're only hitting 8 threes and your opponent is hitting 20, think about that is a 36-point difference. You have to shoot 70%+ from the paint and be plus 20 from the free throw line to compensate from that.
This text, Vancouver 4 text line, it looked like they had good energy last night. They just couldn't knock down shots. Get used to it.
I thought that was the case early in the game, and I thought that
just
was...
get used to it.
It was disheartening for them, and they didn't do well, and then the Warriors, because they're so veteran-laden...
Are they going to all of a sudden magically become knockdown shooters?
So they have to find ways to manufacture points to stay in games, which is comes from the energy, the hustle, and all the intensity stuff that goes with it.
All right. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online, vancouverford.com. It's funny offshoot of this. People seem to be calling this the worst night in Portland sports history.
Mm. What?
Yeah, no, that is a real thing. Yeah. There are multiple people going.
Should we go back to game whatever of the Western Conference Finals?
We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. All right, the take that was going around social media last night. Blazers lose by 35 in their opener. The first of 82 games.
Yes.
In a season where the franchise has done everything to signal winning this year is not necessarily the most, is not the most important thing. And then on top of that, you had the Portland Timbers lose in the MLS wildcard 5-0 to the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Which is like losing by 50 in basketball. That is getting absolutely stomped.
Yeah. It was like 3-0 at halftime, and then it was like two quickies in the second half.
3 minutes, yeah.
It was like boom,
over.
Boom. Yikes. So they lose 5-0, and people are like, this is the worst sports day in Portland history. I can think of a few more.
I mean, just in basketball alone, it's...
Yeah.
God, there's so many.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kidding me?
Well, Western Conference Finals, anybody?
I mean, being up double digits in the fourth quarter, knowing that if you win this game, you're going to win an NBA title. The Lakers and Blazers were the two best teams in the world at that point.
Yeah.
Whoever won that was going to win a title.
Can I point you towards the Michael Jordan shrug game, too, where people thought, like, hey, Blazers might have a chance. Nope. They do not have a chance here. How about losing an NBA Finals? Pick one. Detroit or Chicago. You can pick one. Those are exponentially worse.
No.
The worst sports day was not the Blazers losing 1 of 82 and the Timbers losing in the wild card.
And they were the
MLS.
Ninth seed?
Yeah, it was an 8-9 matchup. Yeah, but 5-0 is like, okay.
I mean, at least they ended it mercifully. Like, there's zero hope. Snuff that out. I think I saw Suk was at the game last night, right?
And that's a great point, is that a crippling close loss, will take that any day. Or I will take a blowout day over a crippling close loss.
Let me tune out and just drink and enjoy and do whatever. Like,
yeah.
And vibe.
Yeah.
Just vibe.
Yeah.
Do not snatch my soul at the last second.
Yeah.
Do not give me hope and then rip it out of my hands.
I hate that. I will hear a Timbers fan going, though, that is one of our most crippling losses. Totally understand that. Get it. 100%. Because you make the playoffs and then that is a 5-0 decision. No, you don't want that. Nobody wants that. But to say it's the worst day in Portland sports history, no, I'm not going to go that far. Not by any stretch. Because it was 1 of 82 for Portland in a season where they're not, like, the goal is to lose a bunch of games, but when you lose, again, the most discouraging part is the 35-point loss. That's brutal.
Yeah, no, nobody wants that.
No.
Kidding me?
No, come on. It's game one.
Yeah.
Game one. That was quite the take quake we saw on social media last night, though. Worst day in Portland sports history.
And it was all over the place. Like, multiple people like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll say that I would put even like the Portland Winterhawks losing in like the Memorial Cup final.
Yeah.
Like I will take that over a wild card loss in 1 of 82.
Opening night. Come on. Yeah. There's no real stakes.
Come on. We know misery better than that, Portland. And if that is our worst night, boy, we've got a really good sports thing going here.
Right?
Just look at the city of Philadelphia lately. Look at the state of Minnesota. Look at Atlanta, right? Where they had the best pitching staff in the history of baseball and got one World Series out of it. Okay? The Falcons blew a 28-3 Super Bowl lead. I would say that would be far more crippling than...
Right?
What the city of Portland had.
John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, Steve Avery. I remember those Bravos team because thanks to TBS.
They were really good.
Yeah.
They were really damn good. And they had David Justice, Kenny Lofton, the Crime Dog.
Oh, it was, who was it? It was Lonnie something that came around.
Lonnie Baxter.
Yeah, sure. I'll take your word for it. But they came around third and scored like a winning run. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, TBS.
Superstation. All right. And Bobby Cox is the manager. Let's go. Let's go.
Superstation TBS.
Oh, man. All right. Well, there we go.
There you go.
Not the worst sports day. We'll be there. Ooh, how about Buffalo on the Vancouver Ford text line? 4 straight Super Bowl losses? Yeah.
Yeah.
Buffalo. Way worse. They got 4 days way over.
Well, and it was because of 2 different kickers missing field goals, right? Because you had
Norwood.
Norwood and Steve Christie, I want to say.
No. Doug Christie. I'm just going, anybody that you are saying, I'm just going with basketball players.
Robert Horry!
I did that with Lonnie Baxter. I'm going to do it with Doug Christie. Anybody else you'd like to name, and I'll just find a basketball player with a similar name.
Robert Pack!
All right. Well, glad we could close that loophole. Are you fighting with somebody on the internet right now?
I am.
You look very distracted, Danny.
I am.
You're
no,
okay.
I'm sorry.
No, listen, he can't be because he's not sitting on the crapper.
No.
Are you pooping your pants right now?
Maybe.
Because you look like you're arguing with somebody on the internet.
Does he poop at potties?
All right. Okay. Well, let's snap you out of this.
I'm sorry.
All right.
It's night one, and I'm already dealing with people. Just the most.
I don't even know who he's not. It's not on the text line. It's
in the. Oh, so it's a Twitter fight.
It's the YouTube chat.
Is it?
It's the YouTube chat.
Okay. Well, for some reason, the YouTube chats aren't showing up on our streaming computer in here. It's
he's
all blank.
Arguing on the internet. All right. Okay. It's
game one, and already people are showing their ass.
It's okay. Take a deep breath.
I can't.
Take a deep breath. All right. A complete surprise next on the Fan. You done arguing? Are you? Internet arguing never stops with Danny.
Let's go.
Got a fish on.
Fish on, reel them in.
All right. Jameson Williams has responded. Now, Detroit Lions wide receiver, we talked about this earlier in the week.
Yeah.
He was suspended for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing substances.
Mm-hmm.
He was caught completely by surprise.
I mean, they always are.
Wow. The news came as a complete surprise, and I'm still trying to understand, said Woods. or Williams Woods. Here's his full statement. This week, I was notified by the NFL that I've been suspended for a violation of the performance-enhancing substances policy. The news came as a complete surprise, and I'm still trying to understand. I don't take supplements or vitamins, and I am overly cautious about even taking over-the-counter medicine. At no time have I ever taken something in an attempt to cheat or look for an unfair advantage.
Maybe you should have.
I understand that. Imagine how good he'd be if he did. I understand that I'm responsible for everything that goes into my body, and I have to take accountability in this instance. I have nothing but love and respect for this game, my teammates, coaches, the Lions organization, and the city of Detroit. It is disappointing to accept this suspension, and it will hurt for me to be away from the team as they prepare for this week. So out of respect for my teammates, this will be the last time I address this matter. Ooh, that's a good one. Hey, that's a good one.
Hey,
out of respect for his teammates, he's not going to address this any further.
Look, I don't believe he wrote a single word of that.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah.
For once, I want one of these guys who gets popped for PEDs to be like, yeah, I took it.
Yeah, I did it.
But just be like, my bad. This is an incredibly competitive field and incredibly competitive landscape, and I am doing everything I can to be the best possible version of myself, and that includes pushing the boundaries of what you should and shouldn't take according to league rules, and I violated that, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're going to learn more about this because we always do find out.
Yeah, and I love that he's like, I'm accepting this suspension because he knows he's not even – he has zero chance of appealing it because he tested positive, very likely, for a banned, a no BS banned substance, or what I'm
now
almost more certain of, there's going to be a masking agent.
Well, I saw that in that exact kind of idea and thought. So, Jameson Williams, I guess some people were trying to parse through the verbiage of his suspension in the performance enhancing substances as opposed to drugs.
Yes.
So I don't know if there is a difference in the verbiage there, but the way Schefter, like he would go over the top to correct people, like like on the panel shows and all that, to say substances instead of drugs. I wonder what he got popped for, because there's a lot of things.
Oh, it's a
The list is really long.
Dumb long.
Yeah. Like, you can't take Viagra.
Without a prescription.
Yeah. Right? So, I don't know what's going on. But apparently there is a difference between PED and PES. So, I don't know. We'll find out. He does not look like a anabolic steroid user, though.
No. When you actually pull up the list, I mean, it is
a list. How about this, though? Do you know that if you do, and he says he doesn't even take like vitamins or supplements or anything like that. Do you know that there's an app that all the NFL players have? NBA players
that
probably have it, too.
You scan the barcode?
No, you scan the label, and the label will go and takes you into whether or not it's acceptable to purchase it or not. And guys have actually gotten off, like,
saved them from,
like,
hitting.
Being like, no, hey,
I scanned it.
I scanned this
thing. You can see it.
And they're like, well, too bad.
Yeah, I mean, and if you go to the banned substance list, it's broken out from all of the different things. And this is on the performance-enhancing side. Yes, it has the anabolic agents where you get, like, your Andro and your test and your stuff like that. Then you have your protein and peptide hormones. But you get down further into part two, masking agents.
Yep.
And it's a big old long list. Then you get through stimulants, and then you get through the doping methods, which
I wonder if Adderall.
Oh yeah, stimulants. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Dang. All right. Well, this is the 1 billionth version of I'm completely caught off guard by this. But I do like the respect my teammates. Don't ask me about this anymore.
That's great. That's not quite bringing your kids up to the press conference shielding, but it's pretty good. Did you know Sudafed is a banned substance?
Really?
Yeah, Sudafed is a banned substance.
Well, they do make meth out of it.
The pseudoephedrine that is in Sudafed, is which I believe is the active ingredient. That's what is the banned substance. That's under the, I believe it's under the stimulants?
All right.
It's under stimulants, yeah.
All right. Okay. So there we go. Jameson Williams, very sorry. Very surprised. Whoever could have seen this coming.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Do we want to have like a little betting grid on what it ends up being? Masking agent, stimulant?
I think it was stimulant.
You think stimulant?
I'm going to go stimulant.
I'm going masking agent.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Get your vote in on the Vancouver 4 text line. 503-864-6326. Let's get to hour number two. The Big Ten. The Big Ten. The race is getting tight. What's it going to look like down the stretch? This is actually a very big weekend in that regard. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.